I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick. And as always, I'm joined by my buddy, Ronald. How's it going, bud?
Yeah, all right. And you, my friend?
Yeah, no, thanks. Eh? Thanks for using different adjectives to me there, Ronnie. So last week when we were chatting, you had Dan and Lee from the Buddy Moon staying over. I know they stayed for quite a while. Are they still there with you in Spain?
You know, they said they left, but for, you know Danny, you know, there's a good chance that he's going to pop out here again and say, let's have another farewell. I mean, you know, when he was moving to Dubai, we had 11 farewells for him. And the exact same thing happened last week. You know, they said they're arriving on Saturday, they're leaving on Monday. Monday, they said they're leaving on Tuesday. Tuesday, they said they're leaving on Wednesday. Wednesday morning happened. They were like, nah, let's leave on Thursday. Thursday turned to Friday, turned to Saturday.
There we go. Well, at least you had some mates that side of the world for a little bit, eh? If things in South Africa continue this way, I might be coming to visit you too.
Yeah, no, apparently the sleeper couch is very comfortable, so you're welcome.
Lekker, then you can sleep there. I'll take the bedroom. Yeah, so I was out at the dam this weekend. We had the Jazzy June Harvest Festival over at the Nut and Owl. First time I've ever seen a pecan nut tree be shooketh like that by a tractor. It was quite a...
That was awesome.
Hold. Yeah,
I thought that was epic. I checked that stuff out on Instagram, Lindsay, and then posting it over there. That's awesome to see. And everyone picking up their own pecan nuts, filling their bags. That was a brilliant move.
Yeah, and we had the elections here in South Africa last week, so I went out to the voting stations. Unfortunately, there was only one person at my voting station in Springbok attire, and it was a little like 6-year-old kid, and I could not give him anything with May Forkchorm on it. So all I could give him was a sticker. But two guys did claim hoodies, quite good reviews on the hoodies. They are going to be on sale on our website shortly, guys.
Yeah, so that also reminds me, I came across a person wearing a Springbok jersey last week here in San Sebastian as well.
Really? There we go.
Well, yeah, so I walked around and, you know, I haven't seen anybody South African here. Like the last year, right after the World Cup, somebody said to me, I was wearing my Springbok jersey and someone said, congratulations. That's the closest I've come to home over here. But then last week, I was walking around the corner looking for parking for Dan and Lee with their big bus. And, you know, Dan walks a child in a Springbok jersey with his father. And I say, oh, I like the shirt. And the guy looked at me in bewilderment. I was like, yeah, the Springbok jersey. Yeah, that's amazing. It gives me goosebumps. I have the exact same one. It's a 2021 British and Irish Lions shirt. You know, it's the one I wore to the final two, my lucky one. And it turns out that they were British and he had a South African wife. So I thought that was epic.
Oh, so he's from the Pit Gun.
Yeah, so he's an English fan and his son as well. But at least he was supporting the right team, wearing the right jersey.
There we go. We're finally getting through to them. Hey, Ronald. Now, Ronnie, that actually reminds me of the story of us when we were in Prague. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. We're walking over all these random bridges to go and get to this castle by sunrise. And across the bridge, you come and there's this guy, Mora, Mora. And they just spotted our K-Way jackets.
Yeah. So you always find a South African by the fact that they are wearing K-Way.
Yeah. It's a dead giveaway overseas. Ronnie.
Mora.
We then asked a question to all the listeners last week. We actually asked two, but the first one was regarding, is DuPont the best rugby player in the world? So the guys came back and they answered us. 66% of the voters, Ronnie, said nope, he needs to win a Rugby World Cup. And then 33% said he's very close, but he's not there yet. No one said he wasn't the best. But now I want to ask you, Ronnie, we talk about a best player. We're not even talking about a best scrum off a best player. Sometimes you can have really excellent players who just are not in teams that can win silverware. You know, he's got Champions Cups to his name, but maybe France will never win a World Cup. And will that harm his chances of really being the best ever?
Yeah, I think we might have spoken about this before a couple months ago, and you know what constitutes a good player. And this is actually a post that I saw on Reddit as well. At some point, you know, named the best players in the world that have never won a World Cup, and you know you can think of a lot of them: Sergio Parisse, Christian Cullen. You know, these are great players that have never won a World Cup. And you know, if you just in the Welsh side as well, there's so many superstars. And at the time, you could have argued that Shane Williams was the best winger in the world. But they never won a World Cup. So I don't think you need to win a World Cup to be considered one of the best players. You need to win a World Cup to be considered one of the best teams. And a team is not necessarily made of the world's best players, but it's just the right combination.
No, I have to agree with you there. I think the mere awarding of team trophies, as you put it, doesn't necessarily mean a player can't be the best, because Sergio Parisse is probably the best example ever. He was an incredible player, an incredible eighth man, yet he captained Italy to over 100 losses. So,
and Sergio Parisse deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, that's how good he is. He was an incredible player. Castro Giovanni. There's a lot of these players that we can list out. And
Mamuka Gogodza.
Mamuka Gogodza. Man of the match against the All Blacks, you know, a couple of World Cups back. I mean, you don't just get that by being a Mickey Mouse player. These are incredible players. So DuPont has, you know, can claim, you know, you can make the argument that he is one of the best players of all time. And the fact that he hasn't won a World Cup is not his fault. It's the other 14 players on the field.
Yeah, it's the laws that allowed us to take a scrum in our 22. Ronnie, let's take a jump over to the URC. It was the final round of the regular season, so many teams bowing out, or half the teams bowing out, the top eight going through. But you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth, I see there, Ronald. Mm-hmm. Hey, 10th on the log, barely still in the top 10.
You know, I just want to make a comment. It's really difficult. Us top 10 players are really struggling to climb positions, because we all make the right calls at the end of the day. And every time I make these calls, I think to myself, do I take the risky call? Do I all or nothing? I don't want to do nothing. So, yeah, look, I don't know. So I'm kind of stuck in 10 because everyone else around me is making the same calls. And I got a yellow cap. I got all the calls for the URC right this weekend. So I'm very happy with that.
Tough life over there, hey, Ronald. If only the listeners could see the smug look on your face as you explain how tough life is in the top 10.
Yeah, so speaking of bowing out, where are you on the log?
So I am nice and high on the log. You can interpret that in any way you choose, but I am 296th, Ronnie. I'm coming for you. I'm going to take ninth soon.
Sure, buddy.
Yeah, so no, I'm not doing too well, but someone that is doing very, very well in the pool is Tim Kilpin. He is in first place, and he's well ahead of you, Ronnie. You've got no hope of taking Tim. So hats off to you, Tim. Let's see if you can hold on to that lead while the other eight decent competitors, you know, chase your heels. Ronnie's not going to be one of them.
Fair enough.
First one of the weekend, we had Glasgow at home against Zebre. They survived a bit of a scare, Glasgow, in that game. Zebre really came out to play to end the season off strongly, but they managed to overcome it. And I think the Stormers will take a bit of confidence out of that game, because it was a scrappy one, which the Stormers have been involved in quite lately. And Zebre really managed to put the pressure on Glasgow.
Now, I always find it very interesting with the Italian sides. You know, they are usually the whipping boys of the competitions. But every now and again, they play these incredible, incredible games with, you know, high scoring. They score 26 points. 26 points to score 26 is incredible. So well done to them. But then it just seems like they put on those big performances and the other side just puts on a slightly bigger performance. So, yeah, unlucky for Zebre, but still promising to see them being able to score 26 points.
Yeah, maybe for Glasgow, it just comes down to wanting it more, because their playoff contention was up in the air and Zebre had nothing really to play for. So that may have been what brought Glasgow home in the end. Ronnie, then Leinster, they were at home to Connacht. This was a game I knew Leinster would win. I didn't expect it to be such a comprehensive win, though. 33 points to 7, quite a big margin for a time that jumped Leinster to top of the log. But yeah, Leinster bouncing back well from that Champions Cup loss to Toulouse.
I have to agree. I did not expect such a big win on the side of Leinster. The bookies did seem to call it. I can't remember what they actually said, but it was a big score. When I kind of looked at that, I disagreed with them and I went for a much smaller margin. Got that one obviously wrong. But Yeah, look, Leinster, obviously, you know, firing on all cylinders. They want to win the URC.
Yeah, no, they do. So they got a comprehensive win there. Great to see some of the Leinster boys managing to put that behind them, though, because you can see teams go one of two ways after a loss in the Champions Cup. Deflated, you know, losing interest. The URC is a lesser competition. But bit of kudos to the boys. They stepped up and had a good, solid last outing of the regular season.
Yeah, then there was another game on the weekend, the Stormers versus the Lions. I hate the Stormers. I don't know if I've told you that before.
No,
and I was really hoping that the Lions would come away with a W there and pull it off. So they went down to the Stormers 29 points to 24. It's a little bit unfortunate. The Stormers securing fifth spot on the log, which is obviously very good for them. And I think as a South African, also very good because that puts them on the other side of the playoff, of the playoff draw, and which means that, you know, the Bulls and Stormers are not necessarily going to knock each other out in the quarters or semis. So come on, Stormers. We expect to see you in the final now against the Bulls. But yeah, so securing fifth spot, the Stormers, and that's good for them. The bonus point for the Lions was really good for them. And you know, being within seven, they got that bonus point, taking them up to 50 points, which gave them an opportunity, a foot in the door to make it to the playoffs. But ultimately, and we'll talk about it later, it wasn't to be, by some miracle match that took place later in the day. So the Lions lost out based on whatever tiebreaker rules there actually were. We can maybe want to unpack that a bit more.
But I mean, if you were like me, I only tuned into this game at about 44, 45 minutes because I'd been out at the Nut and Owl. And I tuned on and I was like, oh, wow, there's a red card. The Lions are in the lead. And the Stormers fans are probably shitting themselves a little bit at this point. You know, it was a good game from the Lions, a very, very big one for them. They needed the win to ensure that they got into the playoffs and not just into the playoffs. We spoke last week as well about getting that seventh spot to make sure they qualify for Champions Cup. It would have been really great had they made it through and to have four South African sides there. But yeah, just not to be, hey, Ronald.
Yeah, it wasn't to be. Well, look, there was another opportunity, and maybe we'll get to that game a little bit lower down the list, but eighth place can also qualify for the Champions Cup if they go on to win the URC. But that's very unlikely at this point. So top seven is at this stage, top six, dead certain to go through to Champions Cup. Seventh place is still a little bit of a question mark next to that, but eighth place is definitely out thanks to the brilliant performance by the Sharks, my favorite team, winning the EPCR. Okay, then Stormers, attack potent, 4 tries to 2. So that just goes to show, well done to the Stormers attack, but you know, 2 tries and still to make 24 points on the side of the line. So kicking matters, and we must never forget that. And ultimately, even though a loss for the Lions, JC Pretorius claimed the man of the match for the Lions. So that's very good to see. JC Pretorius, I think, has been playing exceptionally well for the Lions this season. So let's keep our finger on the pulse with him.
You know, this game as well, Ronnie, the try there for Andre Smith really is a theme that we're going to talk about a little bit later because it comes up in another game. How important that driving maul is in the closing minutes of a tight contest, because we know now you can kick for touch. It's been a rule for a long time when you get a penalty, and you can take a line out. So if you are behind, that's an opportunity for 7 points, and you really need to have a solid maul. I mean, it's what got the Stormers over the line. And when we get onto the games a little bit later, it's exactly the same for Munster.
Yeah, look, there's also another opportunity for the maul try, right? So if you have a kicker that can, or a kicker or a Vincent Koch in your team, and kick yourself a 50-22, you can set up an attacking lineup and go for that attacking maul. So the attacking maul is absolutely crucial in this day and age. So teams with that strong maul, you know, you're going to see a lot of tries from the Andre Smiths of the side. So I agree. It's a very powerful tool.
Ronnie, then we go over to another one of the Italian sides.
Yeah, and then just lastly on this game, bowing out Willem Olbits. Finally, I can't believe he's been playing this long. What a legend of the game, the bone collector. We've watched him in various sides back in the day when I was a full-blooded Shark, you know, one of my favorite players. And then obviously as a Springbok too, that guy took a lot of names. So yeah, sad to see him bow out, but also well done to him.
Yeah, big shout out to the bone collector, stellar career. And I always loved watching him play. I think If I remember back to his Springbok career, his first like five games, he scored a try in every game. So really, really quality loose forward there, now lock in his later days. Ronnie, then we go over to another one of the Italian sides, which you were speaking about earlier. And that's Benetton with a 31-6 point victory over Edinburgh. Edinburgh needed a win to stay in the playoff contentions in this game. Lions losing bonus point in the game against the Stormers had knocked them out. But five tries from Benetton, Edinburgh never really stood a chance.
Yeah, poor performance from Edinburgh, right? So probably their worst performance of the season and when it really mattered. So Benetton stepped up and Edinburgh went to bed. So I don't really know what happened there, but yeah, look, they are now done.
Yeah, so Edinburgh, they're out of the contest. Then over to another derby, but a Welsh one at that. Scarlets getting a 32-15 point win over the Dragons. I didn't watch that game, Ronnie. I'm not sure if you saw it.
No, unfortunately not. I was gearing up for some of the other competitions over here.
Yeah, but that's also those two teams, the end of their season. They'll be looking for more next year, having finished in the bottom half of the log. And then, Ronald, now, here we had the Sharks versus the Bulls. And Leanne did write into us. I did share her emails with you. Leanne. I can accept Ronnie.
Leanne, listen here. I gave up the Sharks for the Sharks. You know, it's just, it's karma, right? You don't mess with karma. Sometimes you have to fall on your sword and swallow your pride and support another side. But yeah, look, this was one of those difficult games, right? So it's my head and my heart. My head said I'm a Shark because, you know, I'm a Shark, but my heart says the Bulls are just the best team in South Africa.
So in your theory then, why did the Sharks not beat the Bulls now?
Because the Sharks knew that the Bulls needed a big win here because they're in playoff contention. So the Sharks are taking things easy. They're going over to the Springbok camp now to start training up and preparing. And the Bulls need all the momentum they need going into the playoff stages.
Yeah, Ronnie, very diplomatic answer. Hey, you should have maybe run in these recent elections of ours. So the Bulls, with this victory over the Sharks, they win the SA Shield, taking it from the Storm who held it for the last 2 years. Not again, first time.
Okay, but the Bulls have always been at the top, right? So you can just expect them to win these things.
There we go, Ronald. Yes, it's spewing today, hey? The bonus point win from the Bulls, though, not enough to secure top spot. That's going to Munster. So Bulls second on the log. I think they'll be pretty happy with that. I'm guaranteeing themselves, should they make it that far, at least a home quarter and a semi-final. If Munster get knocked out, then the Bulls will be hosting the final.
Yeah, well done to the Bulls. I think I'm going to agree with our good friend Bobby Skinstat and predict that it's going to be a Bulls-Munster final.
Yeah, Ronnie, well, it would be great to see those two teams making it through to a final should that happen, but it would be much better if the final was just down the road from me here and I could drive down there. I was there to see the Munster beat Stormers last year, and we all know that ended with John Klein being named in the Springbok squad, and, well, if you hadn't heard, we won our fourth World Cup after that. Ronnie, there was another moment in this game that reminded me of our days back at university when we used to play touch rugby. And that was you as Kanan Moody and me as Apalele Fassi, you know, wheels on me, chasing you down.
There's no way.
How ridiculously fast is Apalele Fassi?
Yeah, no, he's fast.
Yeah, he has wheels on him. That guy, he missed the tackle and still managed to recover and chase Kanan Moody down a second time. And this is now a Springbok World Cup winning wing being chased down by Fassi.
Yeah, look, it's incredible. And I want to just say, because since you brought it up, I definitely have the pace of Kanan Moody, but you definitely do not have the pace of Apalele Fassi.
Oh, is that so? Hey, I'm more the pace of Frans Malherbe or someone. Is that what you're trying to say, Ronald?
Yeah, if your name was Apalele, your surname would be Slowey.
Yeah. Ronnie, that was a good one. I'll have to give you that. You know, the Bulls are a confident side, and you can see it in the way they play. They're willing to experiment. They're willing to pass, kick, and really attack from in their own half as well. But handling errors is a thing that's plagued them this season. And it's frustrating to see. They work these incredible moves. Vili links in nicely. It's out to Arantxa. And then that last pass just letting them down. That's something they're going to have to tighten up ahead of the playoff stages now.
Well, look, it's been made very clear to us. It's all about battle stats. You can make errors as long as you get up and make five more tackles. So yes, I think if the South African teams, Springboks included, can just, you know, tighten up them, not stop making those handling errors, will be unstoppable.
So, I mean, the Bulls, when they put their substitutes on, is when they really ran away with the game. It was quite a close contest before that. I actually lost a bottle of whiskey to a colleague over this game.
Again.
So, you know, with the Bulls, two tries by Akinfenwa Merva, the subs really making the difference there for them in that second half. But Ronnie, where was the Sharks scrum that we saw from the week before? I mean, they decimated the Gloucester pack. And this week, do you think they were still on the Bezos from the weekend, or what's the story there?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that was all about. But look, at the end of the day, the Sharks knew that they were out of the competition, so I don't think they were mentally up for it. The Bulls still needed to make sure that they were going to finish at the top of the log. So that was crucial for them. So yeah, it's always going to be difficult when you've got nothing to play for. For the Sharks, it was a dead rubber, but for the Bulls, it wasn't. So you are going to expect the side that has something more to play for to be more dominant, especially in set plays like the scrums. Yeah, look, I think the Sharks are just taking it easy. They're looking for the off-season.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie, and then what about the visitivity there of Siya Masuku? You know, a ball thrown over the line out, he picks it up, dots it down, and there's an easy 5 points for the Sharks. Reminds me of Vili saying, we chase lost causes, you know, we go for it. We always switched on.
Yeah, I always forget that quote. I actually paraphrase it to chase unwinnable goals, which just doesn't sound right. Chasing lost causes is definitely the better one. And remember that. Remember when he snatched that ball from Jordy Barrett. That was incredible.
Yep. So very, very well done. Another good performance from Sia. Let's see if he makes it into the BOC team for that game against Wales. You know, Ulrich Lowe, Ronnie, getting man of the match. Marco van Staden going down with a bit of an injury. But for me, the two standout players in this victory for the Bulls was Ambrose Papier and Willie Leroux. I think they were cool, calm and collected, and they really kept that team well-structured throughout the contest. So those would be my men of the match. Over to Munster versus Ulster. Now, this was an important game because Munster wanting to take top of the log. 29 points to 24 victory for Munster in the end of it. But let me tell you, Ulster gave everything. Did you see this game?
I unfortunately did not watch this game. I had issues with the bloody DSTV not wanting to stream over the other side of the pond.
This was one of my favorite games of the season, actually. Ulster played their hearts out, Ronnie. They were all over Munster in that first 40 minutes, dominating them, in fact. But again, the bench comes on, the bench makes the difference. And here's the game, saved by the maul. Another crucial try at the end of the game allows Munster to snatch victory away from Ulster. Ulster forced into going for kicks when they should have been going for the 5-pointers, and it came back to bite them. Also great from Arkia Sneijman. That man seems to be able to offload any ball, anytime, because no one's tall enough to tackle him at his arms.
He seems to be able to do that for any team other than Munster, because he's now what? He's only just played a handful of minutes for them.
Yeah, I know that. He's probably played less than 10 games for Munster, but he's the top offloader in their team's whole history. Ronnie, the last one of the weekend then, and this was one many South Africans would have had their eyes on because it featured Cardiff versus the Ospreys. And as we know, Ospreys needed to lose in order for the Lions to make the playoffs. But Ospreys not up for the task of losing and getting a 33-29 point victory over Cardiff. The bonus point in that game, seeing them pip the Lions at 50 points on the log.
Honestly, when I was going through the permutations, I didn't even consider Ospreys in that. But they came in backdoor and, you know, like you say, they ended up on 50 points as well, but the tiebreaker rules put them ahead of the Lions, which is unfortunate if you're a South African/Lions supporter, which means the Ospreys take that 8th place in the log, which means they have an opportunity to enter the Champions Cup if they go on to win the URC, but that's unlikely.
Yeah, then Ronnie, let's just take a quick look at the quarterfinals, but before we dive in, just for all the listeners, unfortunately, we won't be publishing a podcast episode next week. I'm taking a little bit of a holiday. So we're going to have a bye week, but we will definitely bring you full coverage of the URC final the week thereafter. But yeah, 4 of these 8 teams will make it that far, Ronnie. First up, we have Munster versus Ospreys, 1st versus 8th. Who are you backing for this one?
It's got to be Munster, though. Although the conspiracy theorist or, you know, the underdog supporter in me really wants the Ospreys to pull off a win here, taking out Munster. That's giving the Bulls opportunity to host the final in Pretoria.
Yeah, it would be great if Ospreys could do us a favor that early on in the contest. Ronnie, then we've got Bulls versus Benetton. That one will be played here in Pretoria. Marco van Staden likely out, Jake White saying today. Who are we picking for this one? You know, it is a rejuvenated Benetton side.
Rejuvenated Benetton side, but home field advantage, the altitude, it matters. So, look, you expect the Bulls to come away with the win here just purely because the Bulls are the best team in South Africa. So, at this stage, so yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Why did I even ask you? Hey, we all knew what that answer was going to be. But yeah, I'm also with you. Bulls are going to be too strong for this one. And then, Ronnie, we have Leinster versus Ulster. That's going to be a very good game. The Ulster men can put up a fight when they need to. But Leinster on the hunt for silverware after bowing out in the Champions Cup. Who are you picking here?
Yeah, I think Leinster should take this one. It won't be a comfortable one because we've seen Ulster play some attractive rugby and they really pushed Munster, like we spoke about, to right to the end of the match this past weekend. Look, I think Leinster, like I said, will take it. But, you know, if you want to pick the upset, this is probably the best opportunity to back the underdog and get the underdog badge on Super Brew.
So what you've just basically warned is the top nine in our Super Brew pool that Ronnie may pick this one as an outside bet to try and hop up the log.
Absolutely.
Then Ronnie, Glasgow versus Stormers. So Stormers on the road having finished in fifth place and they will take on Glasgow in Scotland. Who are we picking in this one?
Yeah, look, this is obviously going to be very difficult for the Stormers. They've got a lot of traveling that they're going to have to do. I don't see them actually beating Glasgow. You know, Glasgow had a bit of a scare over the weekend with Zebre, but look, they're gonna consolidate back to the drawing board. I'm sure today, as we record this, they're sitting behind the whiteboard and they're planning accordingly for the Stormers. I expect Glasgow to win, but I'll be backing the Stormers, even though I hate them.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a Stormers win here, but I'm a little bit concerned about the Stormers' discipline as well as handling of the games at the moment. Glasgow could be the favourites, but I'm also going to stick with the South African side and back the Stormers. Ronnie, now we've got some news this week. And, you know, let's celebrate another South African, good old Johan van Graan. You know, we haven't seen him since the World Cup final, but bar through to their first final in 9 years. Very well done, Johan, getting the guys there. They will face Northampton Saints in the English Premiership final.
Especially after the dismal season that Bath had just a couple of years ago, not that long ago. And they were down and out. They weren't winning anything. So Johan van Graan stepping in there and turning the prospects of Bath around. So it's fantastic to see.
Yep, absolutely, Ronnie. Over to Super Rugby, where we've now learned that the Rebels have been axed from Super Rugby. I know there is a legal challenge being mounted against that, but yeah, very, very sad to see.
Yeah, look, that is definitely sad to see. Us coming from Super Rugby, these are one of the games that we used to sit there on a Saturday morning with a coffee in hand watching. And, you know, it's going to be sad to not see them again. I wonder if they're going to do something from similar to the Western Force and play the Toyota Challenge with the Cheetahs.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there, Ronnie. But staying over in Super Rugby, Fijian Drua's win over the Rebels, which was 40 points to 19, sees the Crusaders knocked out. They will not progress to the playoffs of Super Rugby after winning it 6 times in a row.
Yeah, look, there's obviously also some media coming out of that, some contentious stuff, something that the coach said when he thought he wasn't being recorded. Interesting stuff if you ever go and want to search that up. But yeah, look, I think it's good that the Crusaders are out. You can't be making the playoffs with such a poor winning record in the competition. But yeah, the competition is a lot more exciting now that the Crusaders haven't done too well.
No, absolutely. Ronnie, then on to the South Africans. Victor Matfield's been appointed as technical advisor to the Brave Blossoms, working permanently with Eddie Jones. It was a consulting role in first. But yeah, great to see Vic being back involved in the game.
Good to see. And if you read Eddie Jones's book, he speaks of Victor Matfield very fondly. He says one of the smartest players he's ever worked with.
For sure, for sure. Then player departures. This week it comes down a lot to the Sharks. Maybe that's because their season's done, so many of these announcements taking place. But Kerwin Bosch is off to Brive. I almost fell off my chair when I found out he was only 26 years old. I feel like we've been suffering for at least 10 years with that.
Well, yeah, I think, what is it, 8 seasons, right? So he started off as a youngster. And yeah, look, I think he's got a lot of potential, right? And the Sharks haven't gotten out of it. I think this is a very smart move on his part. This is exactly what he needs. You know, you see often a number of players go overseas and come back incredible players. So maybe he realizes his potential and comes back as a legendary Springbok one day.
Yeah, Ronnie, then we have Takir Abrahams off to Munster, Werner Kock off to Ulster, and rumoured to be Sikumbuzo Noche off to the Stormers to replace Diamani, who has signed overseas now. Some big movement there, but the Noche move not yet properly announced, so we're not going to talk too much on that. But Ronnie, as a last shout out, we have the May Fokchom moment of the week, and it is that one of me outpacing you when we used to play touch, you know, Fussy copying me. He must have watched some of my previous highlight videos or something like that. And Apalele Fussy gets our May Fokchom moment of the week for that chase down on Springbok wing Kanan Moody.
Well done, Fussy.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom, dit was lek.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.